time set for the Senate Judiciary Committee to meet. Let us please go ahead and establish a quorum.
Jackson?
Here.
Jackson here. Morlock? Morlock here. Anderson, Hertzberg, Monning? Monning here. Stern, Wojcicki? Wojcicki here.
All right, a quorum is present. We will now turn to the measure that is before us today. This is ACR 215, the 23 Asilomar Artificial Intelligence Principles. I don't need to recite the rules because you only have one witness, and I don't think we'll have too many witnesses in opposition, but generally we have two witnesses, 2 minutes each. We'll give you a chance, perhaps 3 or 4 minutes if you would like, on what is a very interesting and I think anxiety-causing situation. So with that, Assemblymember Kiley, if you'd like to proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and it is an honor to be here before the Senate Judiciary Committee and have the chance to present. I appreciate you holding a hearing for my resolution today. I think it's your only item on the agenda, but I think you'll find it worthwhile as it's certainly, as you say, interesting and important topic. So this is Assembly Concurrent Resolution 215, through which our legislature will express its support for the Asilomar principles as guiding values for the development of artificial intelligence. In just the last few years, the capability of artificial intelligence has reached milestones that some predicted were either unachievable or still decades away, providing a glimpse of the unbounded potential for economic and social impact. In March of 2016, Google DeepMind's AlphaGo beat the world's reigning Go champion, using tactics that exceeded in sophistication and elegance strategies developed over 2 millennia of human experience. In November of 2017, Tesla announced that its vehicles had collectively driven over 300 million miles using autonomous steering and navigation, surpassing by up to 40% the safety record of human drivers. And just last May, Google unveiled a new type of AI assistant, which uses language indistinguishable from that of a native speaker to make reservations, book flights, and schedule meetings over the phone. This is just the beginning. Over the next few years, artificial intelligence is poised to disrupt domains that include healthcare, law, finance, manufacturing, education, and yes, even government. In each area, AI carries the potential to dramatically improve economic prosperity and human well-being, so long as it is developed in a manner that ensures security, reliability, and consonance with human values. The purpose of today's resolution is to identify a set of shared values that can underpin collaboration between policymakers, AI researchers, and other stakeholders as we work together to realize the positive potential of artificial intelligence. The Asilomar principles, all 23 of which are set forth in today's resolution, were developed here in California. They get their name from the convention site near Pacific Grove, where in January of 2017, the world's leading AI researchers, economists, legal scholars, and philosophers met to discuss how best to ensure AI is developed safely and ethically. The principles adopted at Asilomar stress the need for safety, transparency, privacy, and alignment with human values. Notably, one of the principles provides that there should be constructive and healthy exchange between AI researchers and policymakers. Another states that the application of AI to personal data must not unreasonably curtail people's real or perceived liberty. And another sets forth, the power conferred by control of highly advanced AI systems should respect and improve rather than subvert the social and civic processes on which the health of society depends. The Asilomar principles have been independently endorsed by more than 1,200 leading experts in the field of AI, including the late Stephen Hawking, Elon Musk, and Dennis Hassabis, founder of DeepMind. By endorsing these principles today, we will join in the recognition of shared values that can be applied to research, development, and long-term planning, helping to reinforce California's competitive edge in the field of artificial intelligence while assuring that its benefits are manifold and widespread. The resolution itself is sponsored by the Future of Life Institute, an organization founded by MIT Professor Max Tegmark and UC Santa Cruz Professor Anthony Aguirre that's committed to AI safety research and the development of beneficial AI. Here today to testify in support of ACR 215 is Jessica Cousins, an AI policy specialist at the Future of Life Institute.
Thank you, and good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and thank you for your time today. It's an honor to be here. My name is Jessica Cousins, and I'm an AI policy specialist at the Future of Life Institute, or FLI, a nonprofit organization working to determine positive ways to harness consequential technologies such as artificial intelligence. I'm here today in strong support of ACR 215, a resolution that is an important and historic show of support across sectors towards our common goal of enabling safe and beneficial AI. As profound societal impacts of AI are now being realized, from facial recognition technology to drone surveillance and the spread of targeted disinformation campaigns, people are waking up to the fact that AI is a dual-use technology. It is both an incredibly exciting tool for industry and services, and a threat to cybersecurity, political and economic stability, and national defense. We urgently need to develop norms for AI that counteract dangerous race dynamics and instead center on trust, security, and the common good. FLI was honored to lead the development of the Asilomar AI principles through a collaborative and iterative process in 2017 in Pacific Grove, California. The principles represent broad areas of consensus, and since the inaugural meeting, they have drawn support from thousands of respected AI researchers and leaders. The principles remain uniquely influential and widely recognized globally. Industry and civil society initiatives, like the Asilomar AI principles, have been an important first step towards building a culture that takes safety and ethical considerations seriously. But we know that it's not enough. What is urgently needed now is that collaboration between policymakers and researchers. Around the world, we're seeing a rapid increase of interest from policymakers and signs of their solidarity with industry and civil society. For example, over the last few months, the European Commission created a high-level group on AI of experts from across industry, business, and civil society to assist in that region on AI strategy and policymaking. Time is of the essence because AI is becoming more powerful every day. It is critical that we take the steps to recognize a framework of shared values. And as a leader in many of the responsible technologies of the future, California is the ideal home for a resolution of this kind. Thank you so much for your foresight and consideration of this important matter.
Thank you very much. Are there any other witnesses in support? Any witnesses in opposition? Are you in support, sir? Very good.
Jarrell Cook for the California Manufacturers and Technology Association. We're in support. Thanks.
Thank you. Any witnesses in opposition? Seeing none, let's bring it back to the dais. I know Senator Wieckowski had some questions, and then followed by Senator Monning and Senator Morlock, and I'll close it out.
I'm on the end of page 9 of the staff analysis, and they're talking about artificial general intelligence. This, as embraced in Principle 19, we're going to, if the Asilomar principles are generally going to embrace that, I don't quite understand what that is, if you could explain it to me.
You want to take that one?
You're asking what artificial general intelligence is, or what the relation is with the...
A super intelligence level that's going to be created by these different
AI applications, I assume.
So I think the Asilomar AI principles in themselves aren't saying necessarily where AI development is going to go, that it will necessarily create an artificial general intelligence or superintelligence, which would be a recursive form of intelligence that didn't need human intelligence to learn from, but was actually learning from itself iteratively. I think that the principles are broad enough that it's just saying we don't know at this point what that upper limit is of where the AI technology will go. We're seeing pretty rapid advances at this point. And so without knowing that upper limit, let's be prepared. Let's look about what those futures could be. And
So all I just add to that, Senator, you do see this distinction drawn between what we already have, which is actually performance that exceeds human capabilities within very narrow domains, such as playing Go or something like that. And then that is to be distinguished from this concept of artificial general intelligence, which would involve artificial intelligence that has a certain level of capability across different domains. And no one thinks that that is actually something that we're anywhere close to developing at this point. There's some debate in the community as to whether it's possible, whether it's going to happen in 100 years or 300 years. And so I think that's why the Future of Life Institute and its principals kind of flag that issue near the end under the sort of long-term horizon.
Thank you. Senator Mani.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to thank the author for bringing this forward and to note that the Asilomar principles are named after a state park facility in my district, the Asilomar Conference Center.
So I think they were considering the Monning principles, but...
we'll take Asilomar. It's well known, and this will make it better known. I also want to acknowledge the staff work on this analysis, which I think was really helpful to me. There's a comment by Harvard professor Steven Pinker, who notes that there's a highly advanced form of intelligence that does not tend to desire to conquer and subjugate others, women. He states that it may not be a coincidence that those who think that intelligence entails the desire to dominate generally belong to a particular gender. I just thought that was an interesting piece of the literature on this subject. On the practical front, and a question either for the author or your witness. So this is in the form of a resolution, and it would convey the sentiment of the legislature. Is there any similar effort happening in the U.S. Congress that you're aware of?
Not that I'm aware of. I believe there was a select committee that was looking at artificial intelligence issues, and I'm not entirely sure what progress they've made in recent months, but I believe we'd be the first body in the United States to express our support for these specific principles.
And again, the principles are one thing, and then the challenge is how do you advance these principles into public policy, and not just on the government side, but perhaps more importantly, with the private sector, those that are developing the technology. Any thoughts on, have any private sector innovators embraced these principles, guiding their work?
Yeah, absolutely. We heard about Demis Hassabis was one of the original signers, Elon Musk, many from industry. Kind of leading AI researchers have supported the principles. And I think that's one of the main benefits that we see right now. There are other examples of this. Google has their own AI principles they've recently come out with. DeepMind itself has ethical principles that they abide by. But the Asilomar AI principles sort of uniquely have garnered support from industry, from civil society, and now from policymakers. And I think more than any others have really had that base of support from within industry and the people who are really building the technology.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's obviously an important conversation, and I think there's a parallel in public health. Prevention is key, and not just from an economic point of view, but from a public health point of view, that the more we invest at the front end of advancing this conversation. My fear, of course, are those with malintention will not be impacted by any set of principles or any set of the public commons establishing principles, but hopefully by embracing and popularizing this, maybe it also creates a generation of whistleblowers if they end up within an industry that they feel is in violation of these. So thank you, Madam Chair, and thanks to the author. I'll be glad to move the bill at the appropriate time.
Thank you, and I had a feeling we were going to get into public health at some point in that discussion, but thank you. I think prevention is critical, and I anticipate that's part of why this has been raised now before the, the animals have left the barn, and there's no way we're going to get them back in. So, Senator Morlock, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Assemblyman Kiley, if we don't do this, then what do we do?
If we don't pass the resolution, then what do we do?
This is a new frontier, and there's just a lot happening probably for the last three or decades, and it's just evolved to some incredible levels. Right. So I'm just really excited to see something being done here in the Capitol, but this is a good first step. But if we didn't do this, what should we be doing?
Well, I think that the approach with this resolution is I'm not in a position to be overly prescriptive in terms of here's a given set of policies that aligns with each of the principles that are articulated. As you said, we really intend for this to be the beginning of a conversation and to try to identify what I believe are going to be challenges we're going to see unfold in the years ahead that will have sweeping implications for almost every policy area that we deal with here. And so, I think that on the policy level, some of it's going to have to sort of be dealt with as the challenges present themselves. I think it behooves us to start thinking in a broad sense about what kind of challenges we might face. And I think that the effort that the Future of Life Institute and the 1,200 AI researchers who have endorsed their principles have begun is something that, it'd be good for us to be part of.
So what would you do if someone violated one of the principles?
Well, I'm not sure we have enforcement power built into this, but I think that within the AI research community, there are norms developing around these principles, and if you had someone who was flagrantly violating them, there would probably be repercussions in terms of the opportunities that are available to them. But maybe you can speak more to that since you're more familiar with the norms that are developing within the community.
Sure. I mean, I think we're really seeing a sea change in that kind of expectation that engineers would think about societal implications or safety implications at all. I don't think that was considered normal or part of the curriculum even a couple years ago, and now it is changing. People are realizing, actually, we're building technology that is shaping the future. It's shaping people's realities. We do need to be held accountable to the people who are using that and the systems that we're changing. So I think things like this are really valuable to get in at this stage and say these are the values that we want to see in that new world.
I saw a video recently. It wasn't very long, but it was like a Steve Jobs kind of presentation where someone gets up on the stage and says...
Like a TED Talk.
And he has a little drone, and he throws it out into the audience, and it flies, and it flies around the room, and it recognizes a mannequin and shoots right for the mannequin, hits it, and explodes like a weapon. It was the most terrifying little video. I don't know if you're aware of it, but here's face recognition. Here's doing it all by itself, running around, flying around the room. And then it showed another video with multiples of these things flying around. And if you let that go in the Capitol, it shook me up. Not too many things shake me up, but it shook me up. Another conversation I had recently was that they had two AI systems and they started communicating with each other and developed their own independent language. Is that correct? You're nodding your head. Yeah. Could you explain what that is?
Was that at Facebook? It was at one of the main technology companies, and it was a translation service. So they had an AI program. I'm not an expert on this, but this is my understanding of it. What they were doing originally was translating back through a common language, typically in English. And then the systems realized we don't need to do that. We can actually translate between languages faster. And in the process of doing that, quote unquote, created their own language, which made them nervous enough that they shut the whole thing down.
Yeah, so that's, I think there's something here, Madam Chair, that we should be getting in front of somehow, if not here nationally. So thank you. I appreciate the subject. There's a lot that we need to do. So thank you, Madam Chair.
I think so much of what we're looking at are things that we can't even conceive of today, like creating your own language. So one of my questions to you is, so much of this we probably should have addressed a decade or more ago, and I'm concerned we're going to be playing catch up, that these things are going to happen, then we're going to say, no, that isn't okay. And of course, situation with drones. We have not gotten ahead of the issue of drones, and now we're seeing an attempted assassination of a national leader, and the notion that these things can identify and be used and weaponized and have been. But I guess one of the questions, and I don't know if you can answer this, but, you know, what are going to be, or what do you see today as some of the more pressing artificial intelligence-related issues over the next 5 to 10 years that we might try to anticipate and get ahead of if it isn't already too late? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the first things that we're seeing is automation of jobs at a much kind of higher rate, and there's different opinions about how that will play out. Certainly jobs are also being created by AI technologies, but we're seeing it's not just the kind of manual labor jobs that are automatable, but all kinds of creative jobs as well. AI created movies now, AI created songs and paintings and things that we just never even thought that would be possible. So certainly that'll be a very big impact, probably all over the world, but hit certain communities harder, and what will be required to deal with that at a societal level. Other issues, I think, relate to what the role is of automated systems in kind of public service uses. There's a lot of concern around where automated algorithms, for example, what their place is in law enforcement, things like the facial recognition technology now being used with some police forces, the kind of surveillance and privacy questions that come up with that is a really big one a lot of people are grappling with. There's a lot of different issues.
Yeah, and you know, pretty much any enterprise that that uses data is it can be improved and through the tools of artificial intelligence, and we're seeing that across many domains, including healthcare, education, and the point of the resolution is twofold. It's to one, underscore the tremendous opportunity to improve human well-being through these tools, while at the same time, stressing that we need to be mindful of some risks that might arise along the way.
Sure. With that, and that brings me to my other question, which is, you know, we look at these issues sort of reactively, piecemeal. So, as I mentioned, we try to propose bills that address things like drones and maybe self-driving cars, which we are probably going to have to do sooner rather than later, and Twitter bots. I just wonder, is there a way that we could be approaching this more holistically, or are we just going to have to do this one challenge at a time? Because as you say, there's some very exciting possible uses of all of this. Drones have some tremendously helpful capabilities, like helping fight fires, for example, we're using them now. But it also can be weaponized. It can also violate our privacy. Is there some way we can start addressing this whole set of issues holistically, or are we going to have to do it as each one of these technologies emerges? Right. Reactive versus proactive.
I mean, we at the Future of Life Institute certainly think that addressing them holistically makes sense, while at the same time, within each sector, within each state and country, figuring out what makes sense in that context. So I think both are necessary and important, but taking that holistic approach is starting to be, we're starting to see more of it. There's, national AI strategies emerging now from over a dozen countries. Countries are saying that AI is significant enough, it'll have enough impact on politics and on the economy that we actually need that nationwide strategy, which is pretty holistic.
That includes what? Can you give us a little sense of what that is?
Sure. So, for example, including what will it take to train enough young people in these technologies so that we're not left behind? What should our military be doing and thinking so that if we do see, the kind of slaughter bots type attacks, that we're not completely caught off guard? How can we protect political systems, voting elections from being hacked and the kind of cyber attacks that could be increasingly automated with some of these technologies?
And probably a lot more that we just don't even know about today. So with that, Assembly Member, you can close and thank you. I have a feeling we'll be seeing more of this. And thank you for raising this very important issue. So we have a motion by Senator Monning, if you'd like to close.
Yes, I just really appreciate the very thoughtful questions and comments and discussion, and look forward to the chance to collaborate and think these issues through more as we move forward. And so I respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Thank you. All right, the motion is that the resolution be adopted and ordered to third reading. Please call the roll.
Jackson?
Aye.
Jackson, aye. Morlock?
Aye.
Morlock, aye. Anderson? Hertzberg? Monning?
Aye.
Monning, aye. Stern? Wieckowski?
All right, the bill has three votes. We will ask, please, to have the absent members come in and vote. We have conference committee on Senator Dodd's bill at 2 o'clock, which is now, and I sit on that committee. Enthusiastically, of course, but if we could close out the roll as quickly as possible, I'd appreciate it. Thank you very much. And
thank you.
Do you have a card? Roll for Senator Wieckowski. Please call. Thank you. Please call the absent members.
Anderson, Hertzberg, Stern, Wieckowski.
Aye.
Wieckowski, aye.
Very good. Thank you.
Hertzberg, Stern.
All right, that bill has five votes. We'll hold the roll open one more time. Thank you. No one's coming. Okay, all right. We're going to call the absent members one more time and then close the roll. Please call the absent members.
Hertzberg, Stern.
All right. 5-0, that resolution is out, and we are adjourned.